Welcome back to Beyond the Uniform. I'm Justin Asiri, and each week I delve into topics, interviews, and discussions intended to help military veterans succeed in their civilian career. Today is episode number 132 with Marlon Terrell.
I thought it was a good idea to get a truck delivered at 4:30 in the morning because I wanted the truck put away before the restaurant opened, and if my drive-thru was busy for breakfast, it'd be hard to get the food in the truck. And so that was a huge mistake because you are not getting a 19, 20-year-old to get up at 4:30 in the morning to get on the truck. Yeah, and it takes some time to find people that are adults that would actually do that and get to work on time. So I found myself plenty of mornings, you know, picking up a frozen box of chicken and throwing it in my freezer. And that process to unload that truck is an hour and a half with three, four people. And when you're stuck by yourself, maybe one person showed up. You're talking about a 2 to 3 hour, 2 to 3 hour process.
Well, for those of you who listened to my interview in episode 129 with John Francis, you know that one of the things I've been thinking about is how veterans who are interested in entrepreneurship should really consider a franchise. It seems to be a business with some training wheels to bridge the gap between one's military strengths and experiences and what's necessary to grow and run a successful company. Well, my guest today, Marlon, has done just that. He went directly from the Navy into a franchise with Chick-fil-A. And I really, really enjoyed my conversation with Marlon. First of all, he dives into just the right level of detail. I walked away feeling like I understood what it's like to be in a franchise owner's shoes in terms of pay, in terms of career progression, in terms of hours and what the day-to-day looks like. He really painted a vivid picture of what life looks like in a franchise. I think it's also helpful because Marlon is very articulate in discussing exactly how what he learned in the military was applicable to his role as a franchise owner, as well as how he went about selecting a franchise and why a franchise may or may not be suited to you as a veteran. As always, at beyonduniform.io, in the show notes, you'll find links to everything we discuss. You'll also find a comment section where if you want to weigh in, if you want to pose questions, if you want to continue the discussion online, I'd really welcome that. A few other admin points. First of all, I'm launching a new series of events. You'll see an events section on the website. And in January 2018, I'm going to be hosting two different events. The first is called Veterans in Consulting. It will be a panel interview with three different veterans who went to three different consulting companies directly from active duty. If you are in any way, shape, or form considering consulting, you do not want to miss this. We're going to talk about pay. We're going to talk about lifestyle. We're going to talk about interviews and preparation and attire, everything you could possibly want to know about consulting and going from active duty into consulting. I'll also be doing the second session of Reprogramming. That is a 6-session online video seminar in which we have a discussion around 6 different topics related to managing a successful transition from the military to a civilian career. And I'm very excited to offer this again. It's pooling what I've learned in over 130 interviews with different veterans about their transition to a civilian career. Lastly, there is always room for more reviews on iTunes. It seems to be the most effective way to getting the word out about Beyond the Uniform. So if you are enjoying the show, if you're enjoying this as a resource, please take the 30 seconds it takes to leave a positive review on iTunes. It really helps get the word out about what I'm doing with Beyond the Uniform, and it can help a lot more veterans get access to this information. So with that, let's dive in to my interview with fellow Naval Academy 2002 graduate and fellow submariner, Marlon Terrell. Well, joining me today in Woodbridge, New Jersey is Marlon Terrell. Marlon, welcome to Beyond the Uniform.
Thank you, Justin. Thank you for having me today.
So I want to give a special thanks to Charlie Mello, who is also a Naval Academy 2002 graduate, who connected me with Marlon, who is a 2002 Naval Academy graduate as well. And I'm really excited to speak with Marlon. A couple weeks ago, I had John Francis on the show, who's not a veteran, but talked about franchising and why it may be appealing for veterans to go down this route. And Marlon, not only is a veteran who's gone down the route of becoming a franchise owner, but he also did it directly from active duty. So appreciate your time today, Marlon. I can only imagine how slammed you are throughout the day, but excited to kind of delve into your background and your experience of being a franchise owner in the Chick-fil-A Corporation.
Yes, certainly. And I'm looking forward to sharing the challenges, opportunity that was presented from Chick-fil-A compared to other franchises, as well as, the good and the bad. So whatever you have for me, I'm ready to share.
Awesome. Maybe let's just start with kind of, you graduated from the Naval Academy, you served in the Navy. Take us through just the quick summary of what you did in the military and how you decided to transition to your civilian career.
Oh, yeah, definitely, Justin. So I did submarines in the military, so nuclear engineering background, and had the opportunity to go back to the Naval Academy to get a master's degree in leadership education, leadership development. And while I was there, I taught leadership at University of Maryland College Park as part of my master's degree, as well as taught leadership at the Naval Academy. And during that time is when I decided that I was really interested in going the entrepreneurial route. And so during my time at the Naval Academy, while I was learning a lot about leading a group of young people, I started to work on a couple of different businesses. And then I actually got out of active duty in 2010, and I went into a CANREC, Canvas Recruiter, opportunity, which is an active duty reservist. Most reservists or active duty personnel understand that as active duty special work, ADSW, or full-time support, FTS. And what it allowed me to do was recruit in the area of Maryland, D.C., and be in charge of, so I recruited officers, but I was also in charge of all the enlisted recruiters in that Northern Virginia, D.C., and Maryland market. And I was able to do that for 5 years. And during that time, I just continued to work on my entrepreneurial spirit, entrepreneurship opportunities, and really educate myself in the space of being an entrepreneur in order to kind of achieve my goals and get to where I wanted to be.
And I guess what did you learn during that time, and what ultimately led you to choosing to go into a franchise?
So I was, first and foremost, I really took advantage of the opportunity to educate myself on business, and I didn't have an MBA, so I looked for opportunities out there that were probably helpful for veterans. And it really started when I went to meetup.com and just typed in veteran entrepreneurs. And so I got the chance to get around of a group of people that were interested in being entrepreneurs, and we just started sharing information. So I heard about all kinds of free courses at the time. I'm not sure if they're still free today. There was a company called Kaufman that had a fast track, Kaufman Fast Track, that had a free veteran entrepreneur course. There was a Vet to CEO, Boots to Business. Syracuse has a course, I think it's called Entrepreneur Boot Camp for Veterans or something like that, EBV. I know that's the acronym for it. And then there's a VEP course as well, VEP. So, and I know there are a lot more out there, but I just remember those were the ones that I was looking at that time. And so when I went to the Kaufman one, it was once a week, and it was about 2 or 3 hours, and they really made you do some homework. It wasn't just sitting around talking about being an entrepreneur. It was writing a business plan, really thinking hard about what you wanted to do. And so when I just kind of thought about the expense of starting a business, I really thought it would be nice to get some help through franchising. And the reason that the thing that led me to that is because I had worked on a nonprofit business that I was working called Leap for America, and I was going into school systems and teaching philanthropy as a discipline, just like you teach math and science. So then from there, it led me to another business I was working on called Repay Vets. And the idea was to help veterans fundraise because I realized how hard it was for veterans to get money. And it was nothing but a Kickstarter just strictly for veterans to raise money for whatever their needs were. And so doing these two businesses, I realized how hard it was to grow a brand and get capital for a business. So I said, you know, maybe if I just start looking at franchises and figure out, you know, is there some help out there? And so for me, I worked at Chick-fil-A when I was in high school. And so I just said, you know what, let me go back to Chick-fil-A and just see what's out there. And so the first thing I did was walk into a Chick-fil-A and talk to and see if I could connect with like an owner operator, because I did some reading and understood that they were locally owned. And that's I think the best advice I could give someone that's considering franchising is if you're going to go the route, if you think about it, just walk into one, whether it's a FedEx, a UPS, a cleaners, whatever it is, just walk in there and see if you can meet with the owner or talk with the owner or the general manager and just get some guidance that way. And so for me, that's what I did. And when I started looking at the numbers compared to other, like the capital that I had to come up with and the business model compared to other food restaurants or fast food restaurants or other businesses in general, it just made more sense for me financially.
I mean, I love so much about what you shared, and I love this thought of, first of all, just the entrepreneurial drive, and you're using this time when you're a recruiter to explore your own ideas, but also I just love the proactive nature, and I'll add for listeners in the show notes, I'll add links to all those resources, but with the Kauffman Fast Track and Boots to Business and all these different things of just, I picture you sucking in all of this free knowledge and just really working on nights and weekends to do these homework assignments and fill in the gaps in your knowledge. And I also like this aspect that it seems like you had this tremendous entrepreneurial drive, and you also realized the value of structure and the value of help in getting that business started. And that's, in my mind, when I think of franchises, that's why I think I get so excited about veterans and franchises, is it really capitalizes on that drive and that motivation and helps out for people that might not have run a business before or might not even know what sort of business to go into. And I really love that thought of just going from franchise to franchise and talking to people and learning about their experience. I bet that is the best way to figure out, is this the right type of business for me, and just catching together all of these different stories and experiences and figuring out, hey, maybe this isn't right for me, or maybe this type of business is better for me.
Yeah, Justin, you know, I think, you know, way too often we just kind of rely on ourselves and our own military community, or just, you know, our mentality is just kind of, we're very humble. You know, we don't want to go bother people. But I mean, you'd be surprised at how many people are out there to help you. And I thought really hard about if I should go the MBA route, or if I should just go what I consider to be the school hard knocks and just start and learn. And that was a tough decision. But I just decided, hey, you know what, for my personal journey, I thought it was best for me to just, instead of investing more money into school, just hold on to the capital I had. And like you said, working nights, weekends, and just nonstop drive beyond the regular day-to-day job of helping put people into the military. I just did what I had to do, and I think that's one thing that all of us have as veterans. We do what we have to do when we have a goal and we set our minds to it. Mm. And that was my focus, just get it done.
I love, it's so great to hear you say that, because I went the business school route. I did submarines too. I got out, I went to business school, and that was a great experience for me. But I was literally over Thanksgiving talking with someone and saying, like, man, I wonder today if I were to do that again, because for me, all in, it was probably $150,000 between school and living expenses, not to mention not getting an income. I'm like, $150,000, I could have done a franchise, or you could have started a company. And my view, having gone the route of entrepreneurship, is that so much you learn by doing. You learn, like you said, the school of hard knocks. You learn by just getting in there and getting your hands dirty. And that's where I really admire the path that you took of taking that capital that, would have gone to business school, and instead using that to actually start a franchise. And that's one of the things I wanted to ask about, is I imagine there's a lot of different franchise opportunities, but do you have could you give listeners a sense of about how much money would they need saved up in order to start a franchise?
Justin, that is a loaded question. simply because every franchise is different. FedEx has their model. Chick-fil-A has a different model. Subway has a different model. Zips Cleaners has a different model. So first I would say, start by Googling veteran-friendly franchises or inexpensive franchises, depending on how much capital you have, or franchises with the greatest rate of return. And or operational heavy franchises. So for Chick-fil-A, our franchise fee is minimal. I mean, people just go crazy over the fact that we only have to put up $10,000 to get into the franchise world. Now,
I thought for sure, I was just thinking at least 25 to 50,000. I was thinking, so 10,000 is really incredible. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Subway is closer to 100.
Wow.
Right. So, yeah. So, I mean, but it's a different ownership model. So, so for us with Chick-fil-A, I decided that it was good for me because, one, I've worked in Chick-fil-A before, so I knew and kind of understood what that model really looks like. And so with it being so little capital up front, Chick-fil-A is putting up all the expenses to help you find the building. They're building it, all the, like, I have a $3 million restaurant that all came from Chick-fil-A. But the caveat for me and for other franchises that may be similar is that while I have ownership in a name, I don't have ownership in the building. And it's kind of like McDonald's. They talk about McDonald's really in the real estate business. And so if Chick-fil-A decides they no longer want to partner with me, they can make that decision. Now, I had to really do a lot of research and decide that I have enough trust and confidence in the organization that wouldn't do that. They just don't do that to people unless things are, go really bad and with a franchisee, and not even the lack of making money. I mean, like doing illegal things or something that really can ruin the brand name. But I get how that's a challenge for people to overcome. And so you're looking at, just going back to the original question, you're looking at, say Chick-fil-A, which is 10,000. I think FedEx is probably around 40,000-50,000 range. They probably help a little bit more with finding a property. Subway, who's probably up where around 100,000, but they're not finding not giving you as much help to finding a location. So what happens is you kind of make a decision. Do you want to go on the lower end and put up less money, but you're more operationally heavy, or you have more capital to give and you can immediately start making money because this business is that big and you can immediately put someone in charge of it and to manage it. And so you just have to kind of decide where you want to be in based on what kind of capital you have to make that decision.
And the other aspect of the capital then is I'm guessing that, you know, you put in the $10,000 to start the franchise, but I'm imagining you need some sort of buffer before you're able to pay yourself. Like, do you have a sense for if someone's thinking of doing this? Okay, there's like, let's say the $10,000 to start the franchise. How much savings should they have? Like, how long should they be able to live without an income as well? Because that seems like the other component.
Yeah, so that's a great question, Justin, because really, on the surface, it is $10,000. But when you go a little bit deeper, you're looking at potentially a full year of no income.
Yeah.
Now, the great thing about Chick-fil-A is another great thing that's blows people's minds is that as soon as you open your restaurant, Chick-fil-A will let you draw an income of $2,500 a month if you make no money in that month. And so you're immediately having enough money to keep the lights on and keep some food in your mouth and in the family's mouth. And so you're immediately going to get something. And then it only takes about 2 to 3 months beyond that, depending on location, the type of restaurant. There are a lot of different things that can play in there to where you can start really kind of gaining a decent income. So, but I say 6 months to a year because for me, I left the military in May. Well, my restaurant didn't open until September. So we're looking at June, July, August, and then we open in September. So that's 4 months. But let's say there was a coding issue and they pushed the restaurant back to an opening date of January or February or the following March, which most of us, if we have built a home, just our own personal home to buy, then we understand that new construction, those things happen and you push back closing dates. And so, so it's just safe to have whatever your 6 months to a year worth of living income that's necessary to survive throughout that time period beyond that $10,000.
That's great. Yeah. And I'm wondering, you know, let's say for those 3 or 4 months, and I love about what you're saying is that there's with franchise or with any entrepreneurial vehicle, there's so much uncertainty and risk. And I love pointing out that thought that, like, you know, there could be a code violation that pushes back by several months. So never just thinking in your mind, okay, it's gonna open in 3 months and that's that. You know, it could be 3 months to 9 months. And I love that thought of just having, they call it, I think, having some powder in the keg, having some dry reserves in case you have these unexpected obstacles. What did those, let's say you signed the paperwork, you put in that $10,000, now you're waiting for the franchise to open. What does your life look like? Like, what are you doing in those 3 or 4 months to get ready to run this company when it opens its doors?
Yeah, Justin. So again, every franchise is going to be different. But one thing I think is pretty consistent is you're going to go through a training process. So you're probably going to go to the corporate office and spend 3 weeks to 8 weeks probably. Going through their training so you can learn the ins and outs about the business. Because the franchise, typically, if they're a larger franchise, they may decide to partner with you because of what you bring to the table for a veteran. So let's just say Subway or Jimmy John's, right? So they may require that everyone that they decide to franchise with or partner with they may decide that that person has to have 3 to 5 years of experience in the restaurant industry. But they may also have this caveat for military veterans. They don't need that because they know and they expect us to come with a different type of drive, focus, dedication, and commitment to what we're trying to achieve than most civilians. So you get that luxury of where you don't have to come in with the background knowledge sometimes. And so for Chick-fil-A, they don't look for restaurant business experience. They look for character, a sense of community, competency, and things like that. And so, so for them, and they really dive into that character and I would say the competency piece. So for them, they say, hey, we're going to teach you how to make a chicken sandwich, like the basic operations of the restaurant. And then beyond that, once I finished the school, they set me up with an owner in, I think it was Texas. I went down, I spent 2 weeks with an owner in Texas. And then from there, I was able to come back to my area where my restaurant was opening. And that was just time for me to start really sitting down, hunkering down and figuring out, okay, what is my restaurant going to look like? What's my vision, my mission? What's going to be our ethos? How many people do I want to hire? Where do I go to find these people? And so all that stuff, because for my restaurant, I mean, I have to start out with 90 people. And so that's pretty much what it takes to run the most freestanding Chick-fil-A is around 100 people. And so for me, I really kind of decided and thought hard about what type of person I wanted to hire, who I really wanted in my business. And then Chick-fil-A sent about four to 6 weeks before we opened, Chick-fil-A sent me two guys to help me think through that process. And they would just, their job is to travel around to opening Chick-fil-A's in order to help them through the first 4 weeks before the restaurant opens, 4 to 6 weeks before the restaurant opens, and then 3 weeks after it's opened. And that first week, they send you a group of trainers, around 20 people. And so when you compare it to the fleet, whether it's you have a battalion or a ship or submarine, you know, just imagine having a group of 150 people and you're charged with a mission that you know relatively, like, very little about. All you know is your leadership experience. And all 150 people, the Navy or Army has probably trained them for a total of a week. And then you got it after that. So that's kind of what it was like in the beginning.
I really appreciate that detail. I think it's very energizing to me because, first of all, I think that veterans, this is the training and structure that they're used to in the military that is, in my experience, very rare in the civilian world. I mean, I'm so envious, you know, from another vantage point of having started my company Storybox and feeling like I'm inventing everything from scratch. I'm very jealous of the thought that you had a concentrated period where you learn everything about making the sandwiches. So now you have that expertise to pass on to people. And then I love this thought of you meeting with the owner and getting their perspective and then having that time to sit back and create your own vision and tweak that. And then I love that you launch and you've got this support team around you of being able to help you in those first weeks. And at the same time, it's intimidating to think of, like, man, I'm just thinking day one, having 90 employees and not only the 90 employees, I'm thinking of like, man, if I had to go hire 90 people right now, that's like 90 people, you know, that's probably, who knows, 120 people you have to find or 150 people you have to find and interview and narrow down. And then you're thinking about How do you hire these people? How do you evaluate them? And that's tremendous. And, you know, I've never had a team size of 90. The biggest we've ever been as a company is 20 employees. And so the thought of being 90 employees from the get-go is incredible. But, you know, one last thing I'll say on that is, I think another reason that energizes me about this when I think of veterans is, this is a group of people who, it is very probable that they have led a group of 90 prior to getting there. And there's not a lot of people like that, that at this stage in their life would be able to lead 90 people. And so many veterans talk about how much they enjoyed that and how they want to do that in the civilian sector. There's not a lot of paths I can think of that get you in front of leading 90 to 100 people immediately besides what you're describing right now, at least in the world of entrepreneurship. So that's very, very compelling.
Yeah, and you bring a good point. Chick-fil-A partners with military veterans for that reason, because they know that we've led people, and they know that we have thought about training plans, and we understand how important it is. So, you know, it's funny, all those things that, you know, Justin, we were so frustrated with on the submarine, you know, the training after train some more, and all the things that the little things that we may have gotten frustrated with, the administrative things, are all the things that I use today to help me be successful as an owner operator with Chick-fil-A.
It is interesting. I'm still trying to get my head around this, where at least for me in the military, I had this jaded view towards training, and it was almost like trying to find ways to get out of the training or do something else during training. It was like viewed as this annoyance that was inflated and not really worth my time. And I notice now, like, I'm going to conferences on the weekend to learn more about sales and marketing. Like, I'm trying to go out of my way to get more training, and it's such a different perspective. And so I'm just thinking of, like, man, I can imagine going straight from active duty to then going in an environment where your training is really going to make the difference between success and failure. And it's so tied to your personal success. It just seems like such a contrast.
Yeah, it definitely is. You don't come in the door with a solid training plan, or just a solid plan. In this world, it's a solid plan to maintain talent as well. Because you can look up and you may have hired 90 people. Well, what happens when 40 of them have quit in the first 3-4 weeks? You know, if there hasn't been a consistent plan to bring in more and then get them trained up quickly, then things can fall apart quickly. So you just have to be prepared.
I'm thinking, you know, the restaurant industry in general is known for high turnover of employees. And I'm also thinking of where you're coming from, where there is no turnover. I mean, there is, like, it is 100% guaranteed job employment, but you have no ability to fire, hire, and you have no unexpected personnel losses. And so what was that like? Like, how did you learn how to hire people, and how did you learn how to really evaluate them and figure out how to constantly be hiring people to anticipate these unexpected losses?
Yes. I mean, again, I had a unique career because I was recruiting. So in my job for 5 years was simply that, to go and do interviews and figure out if this person was probably going to be a good fit for the Navy. So, you know, I had gone through that process a little bit, but we're also talking about the difference between highly skilled young people that are probably leaders in their high schools, or highly skilled young people that are probably leaders in their colleges, whether they're going the enlisted route or officer route, and some in colleges that are going the officer route, are going the enlisted route, right? So that was definitely different, but I think it goes back to just kind of one of the things that we do and know as military veterans is that we prepare, right? So we're always going to have a plan. So
for me, it was, I just expected turnover. No one said it's going to be high. No one told me to keep hiring, you know, Chick-fil-A, that they don't deal with your personnel at all. And so I made a decision that I'm going to keep interviewing even after all my team is hired every week. During our grand opening, I'm interviewing every single week. And I'm also, like, the first thing that I'm doing is putting in a training plan, just because I know, one thing I do know is that it's very busy and very difficult to work in a Chick-fil-A restaurant. And not everyone can handle that level of stress, just like not everyone can handle the stress of the military. And so I just, you know, just kind of knew and expected those things. So I just put stops in place to prepare for that loss, and then prepare to train those people up as they came in.
How, I mean, I want to get into a couple more specific questions, but I'm just curious, like, how has it been? You're now almost, I think, 2.5 years in, is that right, to running this store?
Yes.
How right. has that experience been? Like, what's your take on it so far?
Yeah, it's been amazing. Chick-fil-A, I'm just only going to speak with my experience with Chick-fil-A and not other franchises. Chick-fil-A does a great job at supporting the owner-operator. And so everything from the challenges of, in the beginning, making decisions that, you know, I didn't, that are now in hindsight, you know, were very bad decisions. You know, Chick-fil-A has really been there to help coach me through those challenges if I had a question. And so that's another great thing about partnering with the right franchise, is if they have a strong corporate office or support center, then you can pick up that phone and you can call them and you can say, hey, you know, this is becoming a challenge over here. Do you guys have any way of helping me overcome this unique challenge that I feel like I'm having based on my location or my sales or just anything? And so with Chick-fil-A, it's just been great. I've been able to positively impact our community. I have a young lady that started with me when I first opened, and she just graduated high school and left about 3 weeks ago, I think it was, to go to the Marine Corps. you know, I have a couple other young people that talked to me about Navy. And so being at a franchise that has a lot of people that work for you definitely brings its unique leadership challenges, but it is so much like the experience I had as a United States Naval officer. So it's all about the diet, just really investing into the crew on the sub, right? And so investing into that division that you were in charge of. And that's what I get to do every day, just really invest into the people. And then they just go out there and get the job done. They do great work for us, but it's really just about them. And that's what it was like on the submarine. It was about them. And I always tell anyone that was in the military, if they look back on their military career and they miss that part more than anything else, then Chick-fil-A is a great opportunity for them. But if it's but then you have other businesses, like I'll just keep going back to like a FedEx and Zips. Those are the ones I looked at, where it's not as many people involved in the business. Then those are great too, if you feel like you're more of an independent worker and you want to rely on yourself to get things done.
I love that, because on so many of the interviews I've done, a common theme is how much veterans miss a purpose and a sense of contribution to the world and to their country. And I am a firm believer, and I can imagine the contribution and impact you have on your community. I love that thought of being very, very active where you live, your creating jobs, you are providing for people, you are making an impact on the community around you. And I love, you know, that sense of having that tangible sense of the impact you're having. And yeah, and I think that the other thing that came up when you were talking is I'm so jealous of the thought that you've got this corporate office where as you experience problems, you have the lifeline to be able to call and get support. And I just know from my own journey of how often I'm, you know, fighting to get advisors and trying to get their time and just trying to like desperately get help in different areas and how difficult that can be. And having that baked in to your company is so valuable. I can only imagine how much help that provides and how many disasters that averts by just having that knowledge base. You know, they've seen hundreds and thousands of other companies go through exactly the same thing. And they're able to just with 1 hour of their time, I imagine they save you 100 hours of having to figure this out on your own.
Oh, they certainly do. And I mean, even just retraining courses so that I can bring leadership team to because it's and Justin, in our world, I've set up a structure very similar to what we had in the military. So I have my team members, which are, you know, probably like the E1s, the E3s that just walk in. And then I have a next group called my key holders. They're probably more like the E6s, you know, the first class petty officers. Right. And then from there, I have a group of team leaders. They're more like our chiefs. And then I have my directors, which are more like the junior officers. And then it's me as pretty much the captain of the ship. And, you know, the captain has to sleep sometime, right? And so you have to just train the team and get them prepared to handle anything and everything that happens. And that's where I'm at this point, 2 years later. I have a team that I've trained fairly well. And while we still have our challenges, we always will. They're ready, and I have the next level that's ready to step up in their place if for whatever reason they want to go pursue a great opportunity. But we drive a great culture, and you know, we all care about each other. We're a great team, and it provides me the opportunity to sleep. It provides me the opportunity to really spend quality time with my family, and so it's given me kind of everything I looked for in and owning my own business. Do I have freedom and flexibility? Do I have the, am I making money to take care of my family and give them access to things that I may have not had an opportunity or access to? And does it allow me to just really have fun, you know, with my wife, fun with family and friends? And it does all that. So it's just a great business, but again, like I said, it started with me doing the research to make the decision that this was the one that I want to be a part of.
And, you know, I'm imagining that the kind of career path here is you have a phase where you know, the store opens and you are heavily operations. You are running everything. And then, you know, at some point I love the way you kind of pointed out the differences in your internal chain of command. So at some point then you've got people who are able to run this for you and you're able to get a little bit more time away. And then I'm guessing that there's a point where you may even choose to open up another franchise and go back into that heavy operations phase. And so I'm just kind of wondering, what's your sense of how long was it that things were like really crazy and you're just there 24/7? And then how long was it until, you know, you were able to step back a little bit and have more free time? And then how long does it typically take for someone to think of opening up a second franchise?
Justin, it was boot camp for about 3 months. So, you know, for me, again, going back to my poor decisions, I thought it was a good idea to get a truck delivered at 4:30 in the morning because I wanted the truck put away before the restaurant opened. And if my drive-thru was busy for breakfast, it'd be hard to get the food in the truck, or food into the restaurant. But I didn't know and was not aware at all
that our sales in New Jersey for breakfast are extremely low because people still don't know much about Chick-fil-A at all. And so, that was a huge mistake because you are not getting a 19, 20 year old to get up at 4:30 in the morning to get on a truck. Yeah. And it takes some time to find people that are adults that would actually do that and get to work on time. So I found myself plenty of mornings, you know, picking up a frozen box of chicken and throwing it in my freezer. and that process to unload that truck is an hour and a half with 3-4 people. And when you're stuck by yourself, maybe one person showed up, you're talking about a 2 to 3 hour, mm-hmm. 2 to 3 hour process. so that the first 3 months were really, really challenging. And then Chick-fil-A has an annual conference, and that conference is in February. And so we opened in September, and that week-long conference forced me to leave. And so when that happened, it made me say, all right, you know, I can get away a little bit. And so I think for the first six, like the next 6 months, I was still probably, you know, a good 10 to 12 hour days in the restaurant. And once I hit the year point, it's kind of cut back to whatever and whenever I need to be there for, you know, whether it's training or we're having a team leader meeting or something like that. But I'm in a position where I can get a lot of my work done at home and do office work and things like that. And so just get on the computer, take care of a lot of stuff, and then go to the restaurant when we have some operational challenges that I'm trying to help the team overcome, whether, you know, we're slow in one area and I'm looking at systems, and I really now have the chance to really maintain a big picture and really teach the leaders how to think like that, how to look at a system and think about how to improve a system as opposed to just focusing on what's happening right in front of them, to start thinking more like I would think, you know. And then from here, the great thing about it is our business, it does pretty well in sales. So we're high volume, but we still have a long way to grow. And so when Chick-fil-A built our restaurant, they built it to do about 3 times as many sales as projected for opening. So we have a lot of growth opportunity to where we can do really well out of one restaurant. And I can keep the team with me because as that restaurant itself grows, then they evolve as well. And I'm not with a franchise where I have to go find a college graduate that to make $70,000 to be my training director. I can train someone that decided never to go to college and work them through Chick-fil-A and eventually promote them to that, to where they can make a really good living just working for me and helping my business grow. But that doesn't mean that I wouldn't be interested in having another restaurant. And so what this industry tells you, and definitely a fast food industry in general, dealing with the number of people we have, it tells you that it takes 3 years to get your business exactly where you want it to be. And with Chick-fil-A, after you've gotten it to where you want it and you've operated like that for a couple of years, you're looking at opening yourself up for another opportunity if you choose to take advantage of that. So it's about a 5-year process to really be in position to get another restaurant. Yeah. But you know what? I'm preparing my team for that. So when you talked about, well, what happens when you open up a second, when you go back to ground zero, we won't go back to ground zero. I opened this restaurant with no one that had any knowledge of Chick-fil-A. And so what I'm doing now is preparing my team for another restaurant. So I split the team and they're in good position to take care of both restaurants without me having to do that.
That's great. I mean, I think of, you know, people who have listened to the show before will know one of my favorite interviews with Cal Newport, who wrote a book called So Good They Can't Ignore You. And he talks about building up career capital and, you know, just really using your energy to build up knowledge and skills that you can leverage to get more autonomy and to get more responsibility. And what I'm loving about this path that you're describing is you know, I can only imagine that first year, how crazy it was in the first 3 months boot camp period, and then the 9 months and getting things stable. And then it seems like after that first year, you start to get a little bit more time back and you're able to get more in your wheelhouse of just strategy and big picture. And it sounds like a lot of mentorship. But I love this thought that as that single location grows, you know, when you go back to starting a second company, I can only imagine, you know, what took 12 months to stabilize, it's going to be a fraction of that. And you've got managers from one location that you could maybe shift over to a second location. Not only do you have the skills and the knowledge, but you've got this network of people that you can tap into to expedite that starting process. And so as I zoom out and think of, you know, a possible career ahead for you, it just seems like you're in a spot to be able to eventually start churning out these franchises. And as much as you want, you could plunk in a lot of your time and be running three of these, or you could just say, look, I want a lifestyle where I have a lot more time with my family and you're able to enjoy some of that autonomy. And it just seems like a very appealing career path.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, it's definitely one that works for me and fits everything that I was looking for. And that's the key is, you know, does it work for you when it comes to franchise? Does it fit what you're looking for? Because there are a lot of franchises out there that don't provide as much support, but they also provide more independence. So if I wanted to raise my prices, then because New Jersey decides to go to $15 minimum wage, well, I can't do that, right? Whereas there may be other franchises out there that will allow you to raise the prices however you want to. And now the good thing is Chick-fil-A, you know, they, with that support center, they do pay attention to a lot of those things. You know, some of the things that that frustrate us as owner operators, that and they listen, and so they'll open their ears and they'll listen and they'll start making changes for us. But we just can't make those changes in our own restaurant all the time.
I love your thoughts on this. It seems like you know, with the advantage of a franchise is you have that structure and support in place. You've got what is a validated good business that it's not just add water and it will grow. It's, you know, add water and a tremendous amount of energy and intelligence and time and it will grow. So it seems like that's an appealing part of this path, as well as the ability to lead and manage and mentor. You know, that seems like an advantage of this path. It sounds like one of the downsides is you don't have complete control. There are limits on, you know, Chick-fil-A has their own branding and their own requirements, and so you have to operate within their structure. So a little bit less autonomy, and then the ownership aspect of, you know, you own a percentage of this, but not the whole thing. But, you know, that's probably not too much of a downside in the sense of anyone who starts a company, you know, you bring on investors and they take ownership. So you never own the whole thing. And it's so, but I'm just kind of curious on the pros, cons, anything that you would add or kind of change from that as someone thinks of opening a franchise?
Yeah, I think, you know, if I just ran down the list of pros, it's the tremendous amount of support. It's the same drive that you got in the military, of committing to a community. It's a service-oriented business. It provides the freedom and flexibility that you're looking for, not immediately all the time, but, you know, depending on the opportunity that you get to take advantage of. We are the, I think, you know, the largest fast food restaurant chain per restaurant anyway. You know, so for Chick-fil-A, I think that's what sold me. And so those are the pros there. And then, but I think in general, those are some of the pros that you get from franchising, is just that support, not having to figure it out, and the brand name. So, you know, whether it's Rita's or Shaved Ice, it's sometimes you're probably going to do better as Rita's Shaved Ice instead of Mary and Joe's Shaved Ice, just because, even if you're selling the exact same product, just because of that brand recognition. And then the cons would be the fact that you may be limited with branding, limited with some changes, maybe some limitations in ownership. I know there's only one other restaurant I know that does the exact same model as us, and it's called PALS, P-A-L-S, out of, I think it's the Tennessee area, and they do hamburgers. And so, you know, with the owner-operator model, you know, some of the cons may be that ownership, but the great thing about Chick-fil-A is that they really do care about their owners, and so, and they care about our family. So, you know, if I know one thing about owning a business for a lot of people is you want to be able to transfer that business to that your kids or something like that when you decide to leave it. And most franchises, you can't do that. Those franchises will require that your child has a certain amount of time in the industry in a business, or the same requirements that you had, maybe may still be the same, even though that's your kid or your spouse or whatever. And so with Chick-fil-A, it's one that recognizes family, and they care about family. And so if your family grew up in the industry, if your family did what they had to do, then there's a good chance that there's probably an opportunity at the support center for your family, or there may be a great opportunity to own a restaurant one day for your kids. They just won't be taking over your restaurant. So there's still a great opportunity to support family and provide that legacy if you're looking for that.
Mm. Well, Marlon, I appreciate your time on this. I want to be respectful as we approach the end of the hour here. But yeah, it's very energizing to hear you talk about this. And I just feel like you did such an exceptional job of going into the right level of detail. And I just feel like I imagine our listeners have such a better sense of what it's like to be in a franchise. And it's just encouraging to see, I mean, you have found a path. When I think of the work that you did on submarines and then on recruiting, and then it does seem like, you know, oftentimes a veteran that I interview, they're going into a field where they don't know if their skills from the military are going to translate. And I just love that, you know, when you tell these stories, I picture you using your leadership experience from submarines and using your training experience of establishing training programs and using your recruiting experience to hire. And I know that there were things that you had to learn and fill in gaps, but I just love that you have leveraged so much of what made you successful in the military to be successful as a franchise owner.
Yeah, definitely. All the way down to cleanliness, right? So, you know, I mean, you're cleaning the ship all day, right? You know, and, you know, when my team wants to promote, we go through, we have an exam. We do basically like a ship's walkthrough. We do a store walkthrough and, you know, check their knowledge. And, you know, we do boards. So, yeah, everything that, you know, we look back, like I said, and I would encourage all veterans to not just let go of, if they're going to be an entrepreneur, don't let go of all that great free knowledge that you learned in the military, and really just reflect on it and think about how does that apply if you are starting a business or if you currently own a business. How does that apply, or how can you apply it? So all that free knowledge that you got to your current situation.
Well, this is great, Marlon. I appreciate your time and perspective on this, and thank you for sharing your story with the Beyond the Uniform audience.
Yeah, my pleasure, Justin. You have a great day, all right?
Service.
Well, I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Marlon. I want to do a quick discussion, share a couple thoughts about this interview. Would welcome your thoughts as well in the comment section of the show notes at beyonduniform.io. First of all, I really liked what Marlon had to say about the School of Hard Knocks. And as someone who went to business school at Stanford 8 years ago, I do think a lot about in today's job market, for a veteran considering going into entrepreneurship, there is the route of business school. I loved it. I would recommend it to many veterans. And with a $120,000 plus price point and 2 years of not being in the workforce, I sometimes wonder whether it might be a better idea for a veteran to take that, even a fraction of that, even taking $50,000 and setting that aside to buy into a franchise. I think that that worked out very well for Marlon. I think a lot of the practical skills he's learned were much more efficient to learn that on the job than at a traditional business school. I also like what Marlon said about being humble, about that many veterans don't want to bother people, and yet he reached out to other franchise owners, and that's what helped them determine that the Chick-fil-A franchise was right for him rather than a FedEx or other options. I would really encourage veterans to consider that. I know it's been a common pain point in many of the over 130 interviews that I've conducted for the show. It can be difficult to ask out, ask someone for help, to reach out to someone, to cold email someone. This is one of the topics we hit on in my reprogramming seminar, but it's so vital, not just in Marlon's case of talking to franchise owners and figuring out what may or may not be the right franchise fit for you. It's also a great resource in your career as you continue to grow. I can imagine Marlon still being able to reach out to other franchise owners and learn from their experiences. And whether you want to go into entrepreneurship or consulting or finance or whatever it is, reaching out and getting advice from other people is so valuable, and it is such an incredible way to accelerate your learning and learn from other people's mistakes. I loved his thought of leveraging his military experience. He talked about recruiting and leadership and training and cleaning. Every aspect of what he learned on submarines, he was able to apply that to be a successful franchise owner. And then lastly, I loved his description of this career progression, where now 2 years in, when things are stable, he can decide whether he wants to use that autonomy that he has earned, that autonomy he's earned through building up career capital, to spend more time with his family and with his personal life, or whether he'd like to double down and invest in another franchise. And I love the thought of that career capital being used to extremely quickly build up a second franchise. And I think that's just something to consider. No matter what career path you go into as a veteran, approaching it with that craftsman mindset, as Cal Newport talked about in our interview about So Good They Can't Ignore You. Highly recommend you check that out. But as you develop career capital, you can cash that in at different points for different lifestyles or different career options. Thank you for listening. If you're enjoying the show, I would greatly appreciate a positive review on iTunes. Also, check out our events, the Veterans and Consulting event, the Reprogramming event, are all great to check out. Always welcome feedback, suggestions for guests, or ideas on how to improve the show and Beyond the Uniform. And I will be back next week with more interviews with veterans about their civilian career. Have a fantastic week.